The X Zone Radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X Zone Radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Back to the X Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell, and we are coming to you live from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, on the Talkstar Radio Network, X Zone TV, and on shortwave. Our toll-free number is 1-877-528-8255. That's toll-free throughout the U.S., Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii at 1-877-528-8255. My email address is xzone@talkstarradio.com. On MSN Messenger, talkstarradio@hotmail.com, and our website's www.xzoneradio.com, that's our main site. And to watch and listen to us live from our studios in Hamilton, www.xzonetv.com. My guest this hour is Dalton Walker, and we received a very interesting email from Dalton, and which prompted us to contacting him and saying, hey, how about coming on the X Zone radio show and telling us your story? And Dalton, welcome to the show.
How are you today?
I'm just doing fine. Thank you very much, Dalton. And I was wondering if you could tell the X Zone Nation why you contacted us.
Well, basically it's because I've been having some problems with the U.S. government and my object. Now, I call it an object, but it does look like a benign rock, but we have quite a bit of secure evidence to suggest that this thing is much more than a rock. But what I'm trying to do is, with the government, I had testing done by the NASA and the U.S. Department of Energy and the U.S. Department of Army. And when they started their testing, they had a assured me that once the testing was done, because they figured that I was, I guess, somebody just making some allegations about something, and they just said, okay, let's just, they took the attitude, well, let's just check this out and see what this guy's got.
Yeah, okay.
But once they got it in, they got it tested, after testing was done from NASA, U.S. Food and Drug Administration, and the Department of Army, everything froze. I went through two lawsuits in federal court here in Detroit. The first lawsuit ended with NASA just basically denying everything because an investigation was done through Senator Carl Levin's office. He discovered that NASA had records on my object, and we tried to pursue that, and NASA just refused it. And Senator Levin couldn't go any farther with it because what can you do if they don't give you records? And the second lawsuit, which just ended about a week or so ago, against the Department of Energy, Department of Health and Human Services, and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, what happened basically there was the argument used by the government there was, even if we start continue to pursue any of your test results, we're not going to give them to you. They gave me some just garbage, really. But I told them exactly where all the records were. I described the records to them. But they basically said that, no, we're not going to release anything else. And the court just basically said the same thing. Listen, if they're not going to give it to you, we can't make them. And that's where we are. So now I'm at the point now where it's after they've lied to me about giving me those test results, mm-hmm. I've been doing quite a bit of experimentation, even though I'm not a scientist here. But I've been coming up with some strange results as a result of my experimentations, and this is a very simple experiment. Some of this stuff is really mind-boggling, and I'm trying to get some answers here. And I'm finding out now that I need some assistance here because a lot of this stuff is just beyond me.
All right. How did you come in possession of this rock or this thing, whatever it is?
All right. Let me just say this here. There was an incident that occurred. It's hard for me to I'm trying to really decipher. I'm trying to pin down the dates and the time, which is very difficult to do. But in this incident, there was a report filed with the Michigan State Police. They were on scene. Mm-hmm. I like to say the object appeared, okay?
Okay.
Because that's the best way I can describe it.
All right, why don't we do this? I have to take a two-minute commercial break. So instead of halting you in mid-sentence, we'll come back, and then I'd like to explain how you became the custodian of this very unusual object. Dalton Walker's our special guest. Dalton and I will return on the other side of this two-minute commercial break as the X-Zone continues right here live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton. Welcome back, X-Zone Nation. My name is Rob McConnell. Dalton Walker's our special guest. Now, before we get back to Dalton, how would you like to take a diet? Are you ready for this? A diet challenge. Karen Bentley, who is the developer or the lady who has discovered this sugar-free miracle diet, and I invite you to take part in our sugar-free miracle diet challenge. All you have to do is send me your email. We're only taking 10 people on this challenge. Just send me an email and why we should take you as part of this challenge. Once again, all you have to do is send an email to xzone@talkstarradio.com. And Karen Bentley is going to be with me next week. We're going to be discussing how this diet challenge will work. But now, if you'd like to visit her website and find out all about the sugar-free miracle diet, her website is www.sugarfreemiracle.com. That's the Sugar-Free Miracle Diet at www.sugarfreemiracle.com. And this segment of the show is being brought to you by Sugar-Free Miracle Diet, www.sugarfreemiracle.com. All right, Dalton, how did you become the custodian of this object?
Well, let me just say I can't really tell that because I don't know that.
Okay.
But there was an incident that occurred that once these series of events were over, myself and the Michigan State Police discovered it. Now, let me just say this, Rob. I don't go into this story about how I got it in depth really to anybody. I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, telling the story gives the government a front to attack me as, you know, unbelievable or whatever, lying or not telling truth or whatever. Because the story, since I can't verify and I can't prove the story, I take the story as purely conjecture right now.
Right.
Although it happened to me, and I do know that it happened to me, and I got certain things that I can prove. Mm-hmm. For example, like I said, there was a state police report that it occurred. And also, there was a report filed with the Detroit Police Department when this object did appear. And I will say that the object was discovered by myself and the Michigan State Police officer who was on scene with me the night that the incident did occur. But I need to get a better grip on the dates that this thing occurred, and because there's a lot of confusing issues with me. At this time, I have records help me. I'm trying to isolate through my records when this event actually occurred, but my records are just not lining up. What I thought happened and what my records are saying happened is just not lining up. So, like I said, I want to try to stick with fact.
All right. That's fair enough.
I stick with fact. But if I go with the story, I think I'll lose a lot of people there.
All right. So let's stick with the facts. And, all right, so describe this object.
Well, like I said, when you look at it, this object looks like a rock. I mean, if you look at it from a distance, the object looks like a rock. But now, when I was in Wayne State University, this is the first examination that we had of it, first intake examination of it was at Wayne State University. It has a strange, uneven weight to it, a distribution weight field to it. Also, when you look at geology, you look at stone and sand, right? Well, this object does not have that stone and sand characteristics. It has a very strange characteristics on the appearance of it. Now, let me just say this is also fact. The object actually changes color. It goes through a series of color changes. These color changes you can actually see with the eye. We took some pictures of it, and these are the pictures that allowed NASA, after NASA reviewed the, these pictures, this is what gave NASA the authority to bring it in to NASA Johnson Space Center into their laboratory for testing. The pictures are showing that we have a series of spectacular color being coming off this thing. So, like I said, you can't see these colors with the naked eye. You're going to need something to see it, like a camera or something like that. But now, appearance-wise, it's benign. This is how come when I'm in my search for a scientist now, this is why I need a scientist who has a very elevated knowledge of radiation, because this thing does not look like it'll hurt you, but it is deadly, and I have established that.
How have you established that?
Well, I've done several. Well, let me just say right now, I have been conducting experiments since 2000 on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I started off with insects, and I've also been doing light testing. Now, I've gotten a stern warning from NASA scientists because I was dealing with them on the initial run on this thing, and they told me very sternly, do not use any live animals above insect level. So that was out. If I got caught doing that, I could have had some serious repercussions. But now with the insects, I mean, you can expose this thing, expose insects to the environment of this thing. I mean, it kills them instantly. And what we have established and what I have established talking to USDA scientists and talking to the Army scientists is that we suspect this thing is putting out either a form of radiation or multiple forms of radiation. And once you put the insects or introduce the insects into the environment, whatever this – I call it an energy, but we think it's composed of these forms of radiation – when you expose them to this radiation, the radiation literally goes through their body because it does not distort the overall appearance of the insect. The insects look like it's normal outside, but it curls up. Ants will curl up into a real, real tight ball, and they'll stay there. A fly, for example, if you put it on there, now when a fly dies, it normally goes to its back. When you introduce the fly to this environment, again, we suspect this radiation is penetrating so fast through their bodies that fly don't have enough time to go over on his back. It cooks, it literally fries the inside of these flies and these ants. And also, I have also done an experiment where I kept the flies and the insects and the ants exposed to the energy for about 4 days. And after I went back to check the insects, I did it both on ant and a fly. Once I did that, I come back and I touch it. Their bodies just disappear in the dust. I mean, there's absolutely nothing left of their bodies. So we know that something is going on, or something is coming off this thing.
How big is this object?
I would say our rough measurements are about 1.5 inch, but this is not a true diameter inch. It's about 1.5 inch, but it's irregular shape.
Now, how do you handle it?
Well, that's a very good question, because, first of all, I did not... In 2000, I was not aware of this energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really just playing with this thing, and I was just, because I did not know, I didn't know what I was dealing with. I didn't know what danger level of what I was dealing with. So what I did is I just started I just handled it freelance. I literally had it on my desk as a paper rate at one time. But after I started looking into it, after I found out now that this thing was producing this strange energy or radiation coming off of it, I started really doing these experiment testing. Once I got into it and found out now that this thing has something like laser beams. Well, first of all, when we cut it at the, I took it to the University of Michigan, and they cut a core sample. And what we were surprised to find out when we cut that core sample is that both sides now do the same thing. Whatever one side does, whatever one piece does, the other piece does. So now, after I started doing more experiments on this energy coming off of it, I found out now this thing is producing laser beams. Now, this is not like your laser beams that you will see with this tight little offshoot of light. That's not it. This beam is about 3/4 of an inch, and I only was able to measure the beam coming off the smaller piece. But when I start finding out about these laser beams, that's when I start saying, whoa, I got to get this thing in isolation. And so I started calling around to a lot of the universities, Case Western University, Harvard, Yale, and all those universities. That's when the professors there I was talking to and the doctors, these guys now are expert in high-energy radiation, they started telling me I need to start isolating this thing. So from there, I did start isolating it, and I keep it under glass casing. I had it in my home at one time. This thing literally destroyed all of my electronics. I had to replace everything, TV, phone, everything. So I obviously had to get it out the house. And now I keep it under glass casing, and I have it in an isolated area. I'm doing, I'm still doing light testing, but I'm testing how the light is melting this glass, because it is produced, these laser beams that are coming off of it is melting glass with no heat. Now, we think that these lasers are doing this because of these radiations that are coming off of it. Now, I was told by the Food and Drug Administration scientists that there is a known type of radiation coming off the sun that can melt glass, but that radiation will produce heat. This is not producing heat. We know that it has a strange radiation that has a very, very short wavelength, shorter than anything known to any scientist here on Earth. So, again, after talking to all these scientists at the universities and the USDA scientists and the Harvard scientists, I don't handle it no more. In fact, I know for a fact if you had it in your hands for 20 minutes, it would either cause you to have your arm cut off or you may die from it. So I don't handle this thing now.
How come you have suffered no ill effects?
Well, that's one reason why, because I don't handle it. I really stay away from it. Not only that, through my testing and through my experimentation, I have been able to manipulate this energy, and I can intensify it, and I can cause it to do things. So I can kind of, like, shield myself from it, and I know when I'm overstepping my bounds.
All right, you and I have to take a break. We'll be back on the other side of the news. Dalton Walker's our guest. If you'd like to give us a call, 1-877-528-8255 is toll-free. That's 1-877-528-8255. Still to come on tonight's show, Ellen from Premier Psychics is on the next hour. She'll be doing psychic readings for one and all who give us a call at 1-877-528-8255. And then Cal Korf will be joining me from Prague in the Czech Republic as we do another edition of Cal's Corner. My name's Rob McConnell, and this is the X-Zone on the Talkstar Radio Network. Dalton Walker and I return after the news as we continue live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Eric Rawls of Cosmoverse.com, and you're listening to Rob McConnell in the X-Zone.
Hi, this is Blade Runner, and you are listening to Canada's number one paranormal radio show, The X-Zone, with Rob McConnell.
Hi, I'm Laura Sabrin of Cease to Fields Organic Vineyard in Jordan, and you're listening to Canada's number one paranormal radio show, The X-Zone, with Rob McConnell.
Hi, my name is Lady Ashley, the White Witch of Niagara-on-the-Lake, and you're listening to Canada's number one paranormal talk radio show, The X-Zone, with Rob McConnell.
Welcome to The X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Walker is my special guest this hour. If you'd like to give us a call and speak to Dalton, ask him questions about his strange object that he is the custodian of, our toll-free number is 1-877-528-8255. That's toll-free throughout the U.S., Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii at 1-877-528-8255. Dalton, has this object changed your life physically? Have you attuned any physical abilities? Has your ESP increased? Has there been any interaction between you and this object?
And I haven't noticed anything superficial or, let's say, obvious or anything of that nature. Mm-hmm. The only way it really has changed is that, I'm on a life mission right now to try to understand this thing, because what I'm sensing from it it really frightens me, what I'm sensing from it, because this thing has the ability to literally change its environment. It has the ability to sample its environment. And so, you know, you get these vibes, but every time I do tests, I get strange things, because this energy is unpredictable. I don't know what it's going to do or how it's going to do it. So, you know, it's the type of thing where you don't trust it. It's not a matter of me getting vibes from it, but you don't trust it, because you know that it has certain capabilities that something that like nothing here on Earth has. I mean, who would have thought an object that looks like a rock would produce laser beams? Who would have thought that an object that looks like a rock would be able to sample its environment and literally change its environment? This thing literally removes oxygen. If I put it into a sealed container, like I keep in a glass casing, it literally removes the oxygen from that glass container, and then it sets up its own environment. Now, once it sets up its own environment, this energy literally has the capability of smacking flying insects out the air. I mean, that's when I know it has the ability to really sample its environment and interact with things in its environment. But now, I will say this here. I have the capability to interact with it, but not like in any kind of talking way or anything like that. I can interact with it through experimentation and exposing it to certain stimulus. For example, I can make this energy come in and out of that glass casing. It's really scary when it's out of the glass casing. That really scares me, because when it's out of the glass casing, the problem I have with it is so sensitive and it is so fickle that, for example, if you spray gases, light gases in the air, it could do anything. It could either cause that gas to get off a bad odor, or it could change that gas to certain things. It's just unpredictable. I had done one experiment to make it come out of the glass. I had just taken these are 1 ounce cups that you put hot sauce in. I stacked 3 of those on top of the glass casing, okay? I kept them on the glass casing for about 45 minutes. When I came back, each one of those empty, tightly sealed, air-sealed casing had vacuums inside of it. And that, obviously, the only way those vacuums get in there is that energy had to come out of that glass casing and actually travel through those little cups, little empty air-sealed cups. The other instance of having it come out of the glass casing is this thing's melts. It stops ice melting at room temperature. Now, or any temperature, above 32 degrees. In order to get it to do that again, you have to get it to come out of that glass casing. But again, when I got it out of the glass casing, and you look at this ice, now, when this ice stops melting, I mean, it is really surreal just to sit and look at it, because the ice itself looks like it's in a state of suspended animation, but nothing is moving on the ice. Now, when you take the ice off the glass casing and set it to the side, and you sit there and look at it, you count five, and then the ice will start back melting again. Now, what NASA wanted me to do, NASA wanted me to put it back on the glass casing, and they wanted me to keep it on there at least for an hour or so, because they was interested in finding out how long it would hold that ice in that state of suspended animation. I started telling them, look, I'm a little bit scared to do that, because this is unpredictable, so... I told him I'm not going to do that.
All right, I've got a couple of questions for you here. Mm-hmm. Oh, if this rock or if this object is so dangerous, how come NASA released it back to you?
I tell you why. They have a problem with this. First of all, the source of origin is mm-hmm. unknown.
Okay.
All right, that's number one. Number two, this will be a serious, they will have a very serious PR problem if they had not given it back to me. Because, like, I have two lawsuits filed through federal court, which clearly documents the argument, this object. Senator Levin's office has done an in-depth investigation on it. And now, I will say this. The Army did try to take it from me. The mm-hmm. Army really tried to pull old switcheroo on me there. And in order for me to get it back, at the time the Army tried to take it from me, I had to call about four or five agencies, and I had to start walking myself up the chain. Once I got about halfway up the chain, I was talking to directors and stuff, explaining to them what was going on. It took them about later that evening. They finally got back in touch with me and says, okay, we got your object. We're going to give it back to you. And I told them that's all I want. And I says, give me a time frame, give me a date, and don't be late on when you do that.
All right.
So, tried to take it.
If this object is so unpredictable, if it is a potential danger, why do you want it?
I don't want it.
So why wouldn't you just let the Army keep it?
They can't. They don't. They won't do that. You got to understand, again, first of all, they had to make the case to bring it into NASA Johnson Space Center. You know,
Hold on here. I'm talking about the Army. You said that you wanted the Army to give you back your rock. Why?
Because, first of all, like I said, I wanted the test results on it. And
why?
At that time, I did not know the danger level. I did not know anything. I did not know half of what I knew now.
All right, and, but if this rock or this object is as dangerous as you believe it to be, mm-hmm. why do you want it?
Because of the incident and how I got it, like I said, I need to know more about it. Why me? Why give it to me? Why give it to me at the time that I got it? What made that thing come to me?
Well, you see,
curiosity is just eating me alive here.
We're only hearing part of the story,
mm-hmm.
which makes it very hard for me to understand why you want this thing. You know,
like
I
can understand why it'd be hard for you to understand that. But the thing is this here, like I said, there's so much that happened that caused this thing to come to me, and there's so many questions surrounding it. I want the answer to those questions.
I just really
want the answer to those questions. And now I think I can control the danger level. Like I said, I don't expose myself to it. But I can understand your concerns there. Why would I want it? But like I said, if you was in my position and something came to you in such a strange way that you can't explain, nobody can explain where it comes from. And I tell you something, nobody can explain what this thing is made of. This thing has got some unidentified material in it. I mean, the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality, Hazardous Waste Division, they have confirmed that it has an unidentified material in it. Like I said, there's so many questions around it. I'm trying to find out how did I get connected to this thing.
All right. You know what I can't understand, and I'll be very honest with you.
Sure.
You have this unidentified rock or this object mm-hmm. that apparently gives out laser beams that mm-hmm. can actually knock out an insect from midair, even though it's encased under glass and has caused its own vacuumed environment in beneath this glass dome.
Mm-hmm.
It has been sent to NASA. NASA cannot understand what it is, and they easily sent it back to you?
Well, he sent it back to me with a letter stating that the OSHA does not allow this dangerous object to be in their possession. So the letter said basically he had no choice but to turn it back to me. And it was in the possession of Michael Zelensky. Michael Zelensky is the highest-ranking geologist in NASA at the NASA Johnson Space Center.
Now, why do you have two lawsuits out against NASA?
No, I only had one lawsuit out against NASA and one lawsuit out against U.S. Department of Energy, Health and Human Services, and the USDA Food and Drug Administration.
Why would the FDA be involved in this?
Well, the FDA, actually, my case was assigned to the Department of Energy. Joe Robosky was the person that was assigned to the Department of Energy.
Right.
He was assigning a task of trying to find someone in the government to test this thing and try to find out what it was. So he called all the agencies. He ended up getting the U.S. Food and Drug Administration scientists, which really only tests for ionizing radiation. That's what they told me, because we figured this was some kind of non-ionizing radiation. Now, at first, we talked to the EPA. EPA says Congress has removed them from testing non-ionizing radiation. So what had to happen now is we had to find, we had to go back to the Department of Energy, because Congress is, only allows the Department of Energy to test for non-ionizing radiation. So now the Department of Energy doesn't do anything on its own. It does not have laboratories to test. It has to contract things out. So Joe Robosky called around. We finally had me contact this lieutenant colonel that was in the Army, and he told me that we needed some very, very expensive and very, very sophisticated equipment to conduct this testing. And we needed some scientists with some very elevated knowledge of radiation. So, therefore, only the Department Army would have the necessary equipment, and I was supposed to send it to them for the testing. So that's how the it ended up getting through. The drug U.S. Food and Drug Administration was really the scientist who was actually handling making the case to have it brought into the Food and Drug Administration so it can be sent to the Army. So
all right.
Their job was to make that case. And then everything was supposed to come back to the Department of Energy.
All right, but what is a what are the lawsuits about?
The lawsuits was basically Freedom of Information Act lawsuits, because when the Food and Drug Administration had gotten the object, they had promised me that they was going to give me all test results that was concerned with their testing. And then once they got it, like I said, they thought I was just somebody that was, you know, just thought he had something they didn't know have. But once they got it, they found out that this thing was more than what they thought, more than what they thought they, in other words, they got in over their heads. So what they did now is I asked them to release those test results, because I knew what the test results were. They sent me some dummy test results, and I called them, let them know that the test results was dummy. There's no way that these test results could reflect anything. It was just garbage. So that's the thing is, now I filed a Freedom of Information lawsuit to get them to release those test results. And basically, once this recent lawsuit, like I said, against the Department of Energy and Human Health and Human Services and UFDA, the government just says, no. And so from here on out, the records are sealed. Nobody will be allowed to get it. Now, they didn't break these things, these test results as confidential or classified. They didn't do that. They're only saying now that it is the data is sealed and I'm not allowed access to it, which is really, really unbelievable for my
opinion. All right. So if this object poses such a conundrum for the test results,
well, you got to understand one thing here.
The reason they have sealed
those records in the test results is because it is producing a radiation that they cannot identify.
All right. If that is the case, don't you think that in the best interest of yourself, as well as anyone who comes near that object, that you should not be in possession of it, and it should be given over to the authorities for the proper precautionary care and measures?
Well, I did. I tried that, too, and they refused it. Again, you got to understand, the government just can't take things from a citizen without doing paperwork. There's going to be a trail there. And if I started questioning things, which I did when they had it into testing, I started asking them, where was this thing at? How come you guys are not talking to me? You're not calling me? That made them guys start saying, whoa. You know, we're not going to answer all those questions once they had it. So I agree with you. I tried to convince them of this same thing, that, look, this thing is highly deadly. I also tried to get them to reclassify it, because what they're saying is now, wait a minute here, this thing is classified as safe. That's what the government is saying. That's their position. It is safe. It is not producing any kind of, they call it background radiation. I asked them to test for non-ionized radiation, because that's what the Michigan Department of Health, Michigan Department of Environmental Quality scientists said, I should be following the trail of the non-ionized radiation. But they're saying they're not going to discuss this unidentified radiation, and they're not going to discuss any of those test results. So I agree with you. They should be 100% involved in this thing. But as it stands now, It will cause them too many problems. Look at Rob.
All right, stand by. I've got to take my news break. My commercial break, I'm sorry. I don't know. Dalton Walker's our special guest. Something doesn't make sense here. Give me a call, 1-877-528-8255. If this object is so deadly, what in the name of God is someone doing with it in their possession? I'll be back on the other side of this break. Don't go away. Dalton, I'm having a hard time understanding why, if this object is as deadly and dangerous as you claim it is, why you want it in your possession, number one. Number two, why you do not just go down to your local law enforcement agency and say, hey guys, this is what I've got, this is what it does, I don't want the damn thing.
Well, like I said, there's a lot of unanswered questions, I'm trying to get answers. This is why... I'm trying to get answers to establish how deadly it is. This is why I'm trying to find a scientist who has an elevated knowledge of radiation, especially radiation that's not earthbound.
All right, so what you're trying to do now is you don't want to get rid of it. You want to retain it because you believe it might be of some value.
Well, actually, I've been ordered not to get rid of or dispose of it because...
Who gave you that order?
It was a scientist out of NASA. They were saying that...
Do you have that in writing?
No. You kidding me? They're not going to put nothing in writing.
Well, how do you know?
They told me if I destroyed it or got rid of it, I could end up be in charge of releasing a deadly object into the environment or some other crazy
stuff. Wait a sec. Hold on here. Something sounds really screwy here. You tell me that you send this object to NASA.
In the U.S. Department of Energy.
Wait a sec. Hold on here. Did you or did you not send your rock or this object to NASA?
Yes, it went to NASA Johnson Space Center.
Okay, fine. They send it back to you.
Right, saying it was deadly.
That makes no sense.
Well, I got a letter proving that.
Send it to me.
I got a letter from Michael Zelensky.
Send it to me.
States that.
Fax it to me.
Okay. I can send it through email.
Fine. Send it to me through email. I will contact the people at NASA.
Oh, good. Great.
We will bring them Senator Levin's letter.
I got a letter from
Please.
Senator Levin.
Yeah, because if this object is as deadly as they claim it is, I want to know why it was released back to you.
Well, what do you think when Michael Zelensky tell me OSHA does not even allow it in their laboratory? You know that's a big lie, because OSHA does not control NASA's laboratory. Yet Michael Zelensky saying that he had to send it back because NASA was not allowed to keep it. Yet the Army did not make such a claim. Can you figure that one out?
Send me all the information you can, and we'll try and get to the bottom of this. Because, it sounds too ridiculous to be true, to be honest with you.
That's why I'm looking for a scientist, and that's why I'm on my search. Because there's a lot of things. Where this thing came from, that's ridiculous. What it's made of, that's ridiculous. This thing is a gemstone. It is a very extremely valuable gemstone. It's an olivine gemstone. It has a very rare quality about that gemstone. So there's a lot unusual about it. So, yes, I will. Can I email it over to you, that same email address you gave me?
You got it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm definitely going to do that because, like
All
I
right,
said,
buddy.
I'll give you the phone numbers to the people who you can actually call, like Joel Robosky. I'll give you
sure.
his phone number.
Send me
I'll
all the information.
I'll give you Mike Zelensky's phone number. Mike Zelensky's phone number still exists.
Send me all the information, and we'll get our research department on it as soon as we can.
Okay, and if you want, we can come back on, and we can talk about it again.
Sounds great. Send me a picture of the object as well.
All right, do the same one then.
All right, nice talking to you, Dalton. We'll try and help you get to the bottom of this. Dalton Walker has been our special guest, and hey... we will call these people. We will invite them onto the show. And we will post the pictures and the letters that Dalton is sending us on a special website, and we will announce that as soon as we get the information so that you, the Exo Nation, can be part of this investigation. When we come back from the news at the top of the hour, Psychic Ellen from Premier Psychics is with us, so give us a call at 1-877-528-8255 if you would like to know today what is in your future tomorrow. My name's Rob McConnell. This is